From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The opioid crisis in the United States continues to grow and claim lives, and Congress and the White House continue their inaction with a lack of real funding initiatives. So organizations and individuals around the nation have started to fill in the gaps of government response. One such person is my guest, Kevin Lyman, who's not in the public health sector, but in the music industry. Spurred by the lack of awareness about what opioids are and how they can cause addiction, Lyman has started an ambitious project to take on this critical issue called Preventum Fend Initiative. Kevin Lyman is the founder of the Vans Warped Tour, which is the largest traveling music festival in the United States. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Thank you, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, why is this an issue that's important to you? You're in the music business.
Well, I've been traveling around the country, and I'm also on the board of Music Cares, which is an organization that helps musicians in need. And traveling around the country, we do 39 cities each summer. And those questions, those discussions I have with those extended family members I see once a year seem to be drifting to how they were affected by opioids in the last few years, how someone in their family, someone they worked with, themselves. And, you know, I was sitting here during this election campaign and really thinking that, hoping that they would, you know, put more effort into it. But I'm sorry, when you put Kellyanne Conway in charge of opioids, I just knew that it wasn't going to be done. So I knew that we had to take this opportunity, if possible, to do something ourselves while we reach 500,000 kids each summer.
Wow. So one would have, you know, many people who have watched the issue of drug addiction for years, worked on it, were hoping that the fact that the opioid crisis has largely impacted white Americans might finally bring some compassion to the issue. By the way, we're also hearing now that cocaine is making a comeback and that African-American communities are being really hit hard by the opioid crisis. And, you know, there doesn't seem to be much compassion and much initiative by the government. How much of that has to do, you think, with this sort of moralizing that we see in government, that, you know, addicts are sort of, they failed in their personal responsibility, therefore they don't deserve help?
Well, I think it's one of those things that when you really dig into it, I mean, you know, we trusted our physicians. Physicians were the root of the problem. Well, Big Pharma, you know, Purdue Pharma, Medical Association said that opioids were not addictive in that story years ago, we flipped to just overprescribing. It's the overprescribing of opioids that really seemed to kick this off in a different way. And now, you know, drugs like fentanyl and heroin fill in the gap, you know, for these so often. And it's my own frustration. And sometimes with my own frustration, it's led me to start different movements. We've done blood drives. We do canned food drives at our show. And this is really the lack of education of even what an opioid is. And I think the FEND movement and our app that we've launched is just starting to educate. We need to educate. It's similar to the truth movement with anti-smoking that I worked with for 20 years on my tours, that I thought if we could start educating people on more just what this problem is, maybe we would start to understand it more and be able to have people, you know, figure things out themselves, because we're not getting much help in figuring this problem out.
Right. I think you touched on a very critical issue, which is that most people don't know what an opioid is. We hear about the opioid crisis, the epidemic that's claiming lives in the news. And then if we, you know, get a head injury or just any kind of a health issue and we go to the doctor to deal with the pain, the doctor may prescribe us an opioid that we don't understand is the same drug that could be the, beginning of an addiction problem if we're not aware of what the doctor has just handed us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the partners on this initiative are physicians and doctors and technology people. So they're a lot smarter than me. I'm a music business person. But what I try to do is, you know, they came up with this, you know, gamification of this app. So what we're doing is we're rewarding people for learning more. And what they're doing is you go on the app and then you learn more about opioids. And through the gamification process, we're giving away tickets to the show. We're giving away special acoustic sets performed by Warped artists. We're giving away promotional items to learn more, because, you know, it's just identifying what an opioid was. I had friends that took it that are my age and said, wow, I didn't know there was 11 opioids that were so accessible. I didn't even know they were opioids, or what interacts and how things can really, you know, and how quickly you can become addicted to opioids. And now we're learning more and more that, you know, a 28-day program really isn't curing, you know. In alcohol, you can kind of start working through the process, but, you know, to reprogram the brain could be an 8 to 2 year program, 8 month to 2 year program. And so there's so much to be done. And I think what we're trying to do is build a baseline for the future.
Now, what role do you feel pharmaceutical companies play in this? I mean, your doctors have been prescribing this now. There's more awareness, so doctors are maybe hopefully holding back. But don't the pharmaceutical companies and the industry that is also now saying they want to help, aren't they the ones who created this problem?
I think they had a lot to do with this problem. And I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to figure out a way, like, you know, they're going to most likely settle with the states, with the attorney generals in each state.
Right, there's a big lawsuit around it.
Yeah, and they don't really want the under, like, the truth to come out, probably. It's probably why Big Tobacco probably settled originally, made that great settlement. So they'll make a settlement, and then, you know, there'll be programs out there that, you know, hopefully will start. But, you know, in California, we have some of the strictest laws on opioid, you know, by physicians passing out opioids, but, you know, they were still accessible. And once you're hooked, they become very expensive out on the street. You know, you're talking a dollar a gram. So an 80 gram pill can cost you $80. So that's where the heroines come in the back end. It's a lot cheaper. It's pure nowadays. And these kids are now getting hooked on other, and then you're throwing fentanyl on top of it, and we're going to kill off a whole generation of people if we're not careful.
And so the heroin can fill in the expensive product because it gives some of the same sorts of responses. You get some of the same feelings from taking heroin that you do from taking these pills that your doctor was prescribing you that have now become too expensive to fill your habit.
Yeah, on the street, that pill might be $40 to $80.
Wow.
And on the street, you can get the same high for $10 in heroin now. And now you never know, because now we're mixing fentanyl in. And some of the people I've been talking to say that in 5 years, fentanyl will be the drug. And we talk about how we need this wall to keep the drugs out. But really what I'm finding out is so much of the drugs are coming through the mail now. There's a whole network, and we're having a problem with our mail carriers who are being exposed to it while they're handling packages or handling envelopes, because fentanyl can come on a patch. And just a little bit of fentanyl is the equivalent of 10 kilograms of heroin. So, you know, I've heard that in 5 years, it'll be all fentanyl coming. Mm. That'll be what they're, and that is just a pure straight killer.
Kevin, we talked about the lack of awareness about what opioids are and how they can cause addiction. Is there also a lack of awareness around what can actually save a person who's undergoing an overdose? Because not enough people know that if somebody, you know, around them is having a massive overdose and is on the verge of death's door, that there are things that can save them.
Yeah, you know, we've got this drug Narcan that we hear so much about. In some ways, it's being vilified that, you know, it's costing too much. But I've met the people that own it, and a dose of Narcan is about $37 can save a life. But it shouldn't be the resort that everyone's going to get high and then we're trying to save them on Narcan. It should be the last resort. However, you know, if you have people, or you know people who are having issues with opioids or having them, you know, Narcan, having it in the home, it is an easy to use. You can learn very quickly on how to save people's lives with it. It is a lifesaver, but we don't need to really get to that. We can't depend on that to be saving lives. We have to start educating from the beginning that, you know, you can become addicted on these. They start to show in 5 days. 5 days of an opioid use sometimes with the right person can start to change that brain chemistry and lead to that addiction.
Wow.
So it's a very tricky drug. I think it the overprescription of it, you know, we're starting to see checks in the last week or two. I've seen some doctors being arrested that are overprescribing. But, you know, whenever there's money, people are going to abuse that. You know, if there's any kinks in the system, people are going to do it if they can make money.
Are musicians more prone to, you know, this sort of drug abuse? I mean, we hear so many high profile cases of the really well-known artists who, you know, shock us when they when they die sometimes of prescription medication and abuse of prescription medications. We hear of movie stars, the stresses of fame, the stress of performing, night after night on stage. Do you feel that there are sort of social conditions that also unfortunately make us more prone to the addiction?
I think we're just reflective of society. We're a microcosm of it. You know, we just saw that, Tom Petty had it in his system, Prince, Michael Jackson, I think was being prescribed and used that. But, I dig deeper. I look at all the crews on the road and all the drivers and the people who set up the equipment. I mean, that term, the show must go on. And that is so true sometimes, not only for the musicians, but you have crew people out on the road who are away from home. They get hurt on the road. They go to a doctor who gives them some pills. Then they go to the next city and someone will give them some pills. And before you know it, you're taking pills on a regular basis, but to continue doing what you're doing, because you could be functioning on this for a while. You function on this and then your body just gives out. And the drugs are so strong these days that it's just destroying people. You know, like I say, all the old heroin users I knew, either they got straight or they're dead. And now if you're an older user, most of the older users are being killed off because their bodies were used to very cut heroin, 13%. But now on the street, the average heroin is running over 90% pure. Wow. And because there's ways they're doing it that there's no reason to cut it. Or now they're cutting it with fentanyl to make it stronger. And fentanyl is just a killer.
So let's get a little bit more into the initiative, the Preventum Fund initiative. Give out the website and tell us a little bit more about the app. You said it's sort of reward-based game style app that can, allow people as they're learning about the opioid crisis to, win tickets to your shows.
Yeah, and it's nice because when I put this out to all the artists, I mean, the Warped Tour travels with 60 to 70 bands on it. And I sent this out to all the managers and the bands about, providing rewards. And everyone seemed to not only say they would participate, but told me a personal story of someone they knew who has been affected by opioids and how this crisis has become personal. I think it becomes personal once we're affected by it. And now there's very few people I know who can't say they've not known someone or come across someone who has been by the scourge, has been done it. So everyone's stepping up. The exciting part is that we're hoping that through Warped Tour, we'll have 50,000 downloads. We can build a basis for the future. And then we will take this out to a larger world, starting probably in music. I will go to other genres of music, whether it's hip hop or metal or some of the other things that out there, and try to get more support around that. But the ultimate goal is in phase two is to build a platform for people in recovery that we can reward them. So if you were their counselor or their loved one or their employer, that you would be linked to an app to them. So if they're staying with the program and they're doing well in life, they will gather incentives and points, and we will be able to reward one of them with maybe cards for coffee or gas or department stores or something, just to give them, keep giving them short incentives to stay clean, because it is a long process. It becomes a lifelong process. And these programs that you go into recovery, and a lot of them are fantastic, but we're finding it's just not enough time.
Kevin, are there stories of if anyone that you've come across has been personally impacted? Anything you can share with us? You don't have to give out names, but it's so important for us to humanize and personalize what's happening, because otherwise it's just a bunch of abstract numbers for people who don't know even that they might know somebody who's an addict or who's been impacted by this crisis.
A lot of it I've learned is usually, and you're hearing it, that from families will come in and talk to me, or artists will say, yeah, my brother was playing football and blew out his knee and he was prescribed these pills. And no one really teaches you that, doctors sometimes tell us to take, all our medication. A lot of times, a lot of medications, they say take it all, and they don't say use this as little as possible. And then the next thing you know, they're addicted, and they can cover it up for a while. And, they're stealing pills from friends. Everyone seems to have them in your medicine chests. People are stealing from neighbors, friends, getting them, trading them. And then all of a sudden, they're now can't get them. And then there seems to always be someone in the background that's willing to offer them heroin. Mm-hmm. And, I've known a lot of people whose families members have died. I've dealt with a lot of artists recently, and we dealt with artists, you know, it was alcohol or other substance abuses. It could have been cocaine. It could have been, but it seems like pills right now, people getting hooked out on the road. You're out on the road for a month or 2 months, and you don't even realize you're hooked until you get off the road, and they're not accessible. Because you can always find something backstage at a concert if you really look hard enough.
Well, Kevin, I want to thank you so much for joining us. And that website again is wearefend.org.
Yes, it is. Wearefend.org. And if you were looking for the app, it's Preventum Fend.
And we'll post links to that from our website later today. Good luck to you, Kevin, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sonali. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Kevin Lyman is the founder of the Vans Warped Tour, the largest traveling music festival in the United States, and co-creator of the Preventum Fend initiative. We've been discussing his project on the opioid crisis. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.